Today is Father's Day, and we're here today to celebrate the fathers. But the main father we really need to celebrate is God. Yep, Brother Ethan. And it's not much, but hey, I do thank you. I do appreciate you. I appreciate each and every one of you. I really do. But, you know, ain't it good to know that we have more than one father? We have an earthly father, but we also have a Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father, He wants to do good by us. He wants to help us. Sometimes we don't. Ooh, stay down there. Oh, me. Sometimes, you know, I don't understand why God is so good to us. And we being so unlovable, because, you know, if we truly really realized what His love really means, if we realize what His love really means, you know what we could do? On Sunday morning, we'd have to go get chairs out. Because everything that we do would be because of Him. But we've got to get our mind on that fact that He is the one that performed a miracle in my life. Not only a miracle in my life, one of the greatest miracles that He ever performed was when He saved my soul. And He written my name down there in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't understand that, but I understand His love. And that's the reason He done it, was because of His love toward me. You know, when He was hanging on the cross, or before I got saved, I was out here doing all this stuff out here that everybody else does. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to see no preachers. I didn't want to hear no preachers. I didn't want to hear nothing. I didn't want to see even darkening doors of a church. In all of that, I didn't show no kind of friendship toward Him. And I did not love Him at the time. But guess what? Says over in John chapter, I think it's chapter 15 and 30, 31, 32, somewhere along there. When I was doing all of that,
He says, "Donnie, you still my friend?"
He called me His friend before I ever got saved, before I ever knew Him. You're talking about a friend that stick as close as our brother. I mean, he stick as closer than my brothers, than my family, You know the reason why?
Because he is.
He is.
My elder brother. He's the one. He's the first one of my family. Besides God the Father and God the Son. You know, he is my elder brother. So naturally, if I go to him with a problem, and if I go to him with something on my heart, do you think he's going to check it out? Do you think he's going to answer it? He'll check it out first. He'll check out. He'll even go back to his data system, to his computer, and re-gather all the data that he had over the years for me and the things that I asked for. And he'll say, son, I don't think I've ever heard you talk that way before. I ain't never heard you come and really offer and ask me something specific. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to ask something specifically so he can answer that specifically to where we can share it with the people. I mean, here lately, I mean, he's been showing me things sometimes I can't even comprehend it. And I don't even think about it no more. I just start praising God. I may not shout there in the house or nothing like that. But I'll tell you one thing. My heart's a shouting. What's wrong with the local church? First of all, I'm going to tell you. And what that is that Satan himself has found himself in the local church. Satan is in each and every service that goes on today. The only services that Satan is not in and he's not there is when the people is worshiping God, looking to God for all things and pleading the blood of Jesus. He's not going to be around any of that. And we can attest to that. I can attest to that. We have what? Seven people here. The number seven means in God's precious word? It means completeness. It means perfection. So what we've done, we have come to the point we are almost complete in him. But when we come to that point, when we're completely trusting him, it's when he will speak to our heart. I want to ask you something. Who in here believes, and you can raise your hand if you want to, who in here believes that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, how many of you do you believe that if we would just listen
to Him and to the Trinity. How many of you do you believe that God can fill this church up? God can do it. But the reason He don't is because we're allowing other things to hinder us. Yeah. And you know, I was reading here the other day, first part of the week I was reading. And you know, we as Christians, if we see another Christian do something wrong, we're supposed to go to him. We're supposed to go to them and tell them what they've done wrong and have the scripture right there with us. That when we go to them, that we read the scripture from, and then we explain what he's talking about. But we don't do, how many times have you ever, how many times have you ever heard of anybody doing that anymore? They done it years ago. They done it back in the 40s and the 50s, even in the 60s. They'd call them out. They'd call them out before the church. And if they didn't come before the church, and if they didn't ask God for forgiveness and ask the church to forgive them, then the church could turn right around and dismiss them from the fellowship, from the church. But see, we don't do that anymore. Why? We don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, I look at that in a different way. Reason we don't want to hurt their feelings is because of what we're saying is the truth. And we really don't want to hurt them, because we got in the back of our mind that if we say that to them, they'll never come to church. They'll never get saved. They'll never heed the word of God. And they'll never listen to us again. They're not listening to us today, are they? And we're not saying anything to them. But yet they're not listening. Why? Why ain't they? Because just because we don't go to them and tell them where they're wrong. If we had done that, and they have followed on with tradition of the past and doing that and calling these preachers out. And what you're and saying, what you are preaching is you blaspheming God. What you are preaching is wrong. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know of a church in Danville except maybe one or two that I would even go and visit and hear a pastor preach. Number two or three. But look at all the others. Like Dan Rubble. I mean, I'm not going to apologize. Call on the man. Dan Rubble. What did they do? What did they do to get people in? And they weren't looking just for young people. They brought that in to get some of the elderly people. What did they do?
leg broad and he caught the machine. They brought in a donut warmer. They brought in this and they brought in that. Where the people that can come, they don't have to sit there for an hour in church with nothing to eat and nothing to drink. Well, I'm concerned they've lost the main meal. They've lost the meal. Because God is not going to feed them from the Word of God.
And on top of that, they just didn't feed them donuts. They just didn't have coffee or something else they had to drink for them. They even told the people, said, I'll tell you what we're going to do, what we're going to start this Sunday is this Sunday that you can come into the sanctuary. You can come into the church and you can bring your plate where it's got donuts on it. Or you can bring your cup of coffee with you. That ain't no church. Do you believe that's a church? I don't. Not God's church. Because if we can't get along with God just for an hour without having all the other sin that is out here, I don't understand it. But what I do understand, I understand the Word of God. I understand where we must go and what we must do. But, you know, over here in the, let me see if I can find it now. Oh, shoot, where is it at? Is it book? Damn, I'm on it. It's the book of Revelation is where it's at. What chapter? I forgot. Let me see. Yeah. It's in chapter 2, in verse 9. Chapter 2, and verse 9 in the book of Revelation. I know thy works and tribulation and prosperity, pervert poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blaspheme of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Satan, he's running the local churches today. Not God. God's not running the local churches today. You know the reason this church is so small?
Because of all these other larger churches, they had gym, they had these worship centers. That's the reason we don't have. That's the reason people won't come to us. Because how many times have you ever went and just talked to somebody over the years and just asked them? And just invite them to church. They don't go, but you invite them to church. What's the first thing they ask you? What's the first thing that comes out of thy mouth? Well, what do you have for my children? I got the Word of God.
I got the word of God, they get saved, then maybe mom and daddy get saved.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I tell you, you know, it's not always a child's fault. Not always a child's fault. The reason they turn out the way they do. Reason they turn out the way they do is because of mama's fault. And because of daddy's fault. Because when they was younger, they took little Joey and little little girl, they took them to church. And they'd ask them, say, "Will you come in here, Mommy?" "No, we worked hard all week and we tired. We tired." Why did God call Sunday the day of rest? Why? Because we're tired of what we've done the other 6 days during that week. We're tired of going out and speaking to people. We're tired of going out and witnessing to people. We're just tired. But how many ministers, that's what I'm gonna use it that way. How many ministers you know of that has Satan behind here this morning? Has Satan's man here this morning too many of them That's one reason that when I started having revivals and inviting preachers to come. And I know some people, and I've had some people to tell me, says, "Who you going to have at the Jubilee this time?" I said, "Well, I'm going to have Bill Vaughn, Paul Sisk. We got time. We may have somebody call from the floor if we have time." The reason I called them and the reason I asked them to come is because they are not driving no 2 or 3 hours to come for the dollar bill. They're not coming because I asked them. They're coming because God put it on my heart to call them. Now, Bill Vaughn, he sent me an email. I think it was towards the end of the week. I think it was Thursday. And it had an attachment to it. And I opened the attachment. And I read what he had down there. You know, I haven't talked to him in 3 weeks, about 3 or 4 weeks. And I haven't talked to Paul Sisk in the last couple weeks. But what Bill Vaughn said, when he wrote in that letter, he says, I'm writing this because of God's giving me the word. And he said, "We're praying for you. I don't know how many people you've got out here praying for you, but you can count on one. I'm definitely praying for you every day." Says, "I don't know what you've been through in the last couple weeks, last month, But I just felt led by God to send you this. And he says, I always remember that God is on your side. And God can still bless you. And going to still bless the church down there. I believe that because I've never seen a church like yours. I says, it's not my church, it's God's church. He said, oh, I know that. But he says, the people down there, I don't know how many people you have, but the people that's down there that comes to the church, I can just about go and tell you where they sit at and what they're doing. Because you can see it on people's face in whom they care for, in whom they love. They love the Lord. And I was saying to myself, I said, oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. You know, it ain't what I do. It ain't me coming up here and just delivering a message that I feel like the Lord's given me. It's not what I do. It's what he does through me. Because see, things come out of my mouth that I've never thought of before, that I've never understood before. But then I got to thinking about John chapter 14 and verse 14:26, I believe it is, or 16, talking about the Comforter. And he said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he will teach you all things, Donnie. You don't need to go to man, because man's going to lead you astray. And he will teach you everything that's in God's word. He will teach it to you. He will allow you to be able to understand it and be able to share it with other people. But I love the latter part of that. I do. Because when I first read this, I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to forget about everything I've ever said before in my life. I said, yes, I've went out here and I bought some books and everything about trying to memorize verse of scripture, how many times I must repeat it all during the week, and I must do this and I must do that to bring it back to my memory and everything. But God says, you got the memory. You just need to unlock it right now. It's been locked up for a while. But the reason you can unlock it now is because you're going to be going through that this week. And what does he say? The Holy Ghost, he'll say, I will bring all things to your remembrance. I ain't got to go back to the scripture. I ain't got to go back to the book. All I got to do is trust the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost will give me exactly what needs to be said. You know, I've been accused before of somebody telling me about certain people in the church. Not here, but in our church. Telling me that what they need to do and what kind of sin they are doing. Hey, that's not up to me. That's not up to me to it's not up to me. Because see, you can't get saved until it's time. And there is a time for some to get saved. And there's a time when some won't. But we must do all what we can, what we really can, to get as many people as we can saved. That's the reason he says over, I believe it's in the book of maybe Luke, and I know it's in Matthew too, but it's in Matthew and Luke too. Speaking about the people that we must witness to. You know, the fishermen there, they went out fishing. They went out and fishing for, I don't know what kind of fish it was, but they went out there to fish. And they was fishing, hoping that they would bring back a big load. And they prayed and they asked God to bless them and to help them with that. We know that they cast a net on one side of the boat, didn't catch a thing. But then God says, cast it on the other side. And when he did, when they cast the net on the other side, they was expecting a harvest. They was expecting something to take place. And they did. They went. They was trying to bring the net in. And the men that was bringing the net in, they got so tired themselves that other individuals come up and was helping them try to get the net in, so they could take it. Had the fishes there. And what does it say next? What did Jesus say? To the ones that was bringing up the net. Because see, on the other side of the boat, that when they was bringing that net in, they didn't have nothing. They didn't have no money, no nothing. In the net. See, they didn't ask God to help them. They didn't ask nothing from God. But boy, when it was turned over to the other men on the other side, the other men on the other side, they was praying. They'd been praying before. They'd been praying when the other men were heading on the other side and they was trying to catch some fish and they didn't catch nothing. So these men was praying. And yet, when they come, they say, him, his in net. How about you try it for a while? See if you can get in, any in. We can't. And I really don't know if you can or not. And they threw the net in. The net didn't stay out there long. Till the net was completely full. It wasn't a great big net like what you see today. It may be a net by probably 5, maybe 6 foot long, maybe by 3, 4 foot wide. But there's casting that net. And the whole time that they was casting that net, says, Lord, you know that Rue would really love to have that fish done out. We would love to have that to where we could take it back home. And we can have a feast upon it. So yes, I know you do. And you've been faithful to me, to the God of heaven, plus the God of your life. They asked him, men, what's the reason that you caught so many? He said, because we was out there fishing. We was out there fishing for something. What's the word fishing mean in the Bible? It means witnessing. We don't do no witnessing anymore. But there was fishing. There's fishing for men. There's fishing for women. There was fishing for the lost. God used that. And God said it was 153 in that net that day. So they didn't go home empty-handed. They went home. They went home. And when they opened the door, they didn't say a thing to the mama or the daddy. But they could see it in their face. That right there tells me you can tell who's a Christian and who's not. Who's a Christian and who's not? Did you realize that all these churches I hear that's growing, they say they're growing. And when they tell me that they're growing, I say, how many do you have saved Sunday? Oh, I'm talking about growing in number. I said, well, you still didn't have any. You still didn't grow any. Only thing you done, you just swapped problems with somebody else. I said, if you want to grow, you need to go out and witness to people. You need to get them saved. Then you can honestly say the kingdom of God has grown. But no, they don't want to do that. They don't want to go out and witness. You know why? You know the reason? You raise the whole majority of the people don't go out and witness anymore. And the majority of the people is these preachers. The reason they don't go out and witness no more is because they'll say, no, I can't go in that place. I mean, they got so much junk around their house.
And ain't no telling what the house looks like on the inside. And they just ain't no telling what's going on there. No, I don't need to go see them. Because I don't want to get caught up in that. You know, God's blessed America. God has blessed each one of us. And He's spoiled us. If you want to use the word spoiled, spoiled, we are spoiled. We are spoiled. And who do we blame that on? Well, we say, well, we blame it on God, I reckon, because He's the one that spoiled us. Well, I don't think we blame it on God. I think we need to blame it on ourselves. Because we ain't done what we're supposed to do. And the only way this church is going to ever do anything, is going to ever grow, it's going to have to... And well, we're going to have to make up our mind. We have got to make up our mind as Christians. What can I do? What can I do, Lord, to help bring some people in? What can I do to go out and maybe speak to people? You know, majority of the time, and I tell you, that one time when I first got saved, I didn't do it either. Go out and witness and tell people about Jesus. I didn't do it either. But you know what got me doing it? It was the church that I was going to. I'd already been called to preach and everything. And then the church licensed me and Brother Billy Skiss was my pastor. At that time, he was in the National Guards. And then he had to go to Richmond. Looked like he started, ended up going to Richmond, looked like every week. But he wasn't going out that much when we first went there. But he asked me. He said, Don, I know you'll go. Because I've heard you've been about visiting other people from the church. And I didn't know you was going. He said, but I'm going to be out of town Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll be back Monday. And I understand that this gentleman is going to be in hospital until next week. Could you see any way possible that you could make some time out to go see him? He says, I know you work, and it's tough, I know it is. Trying to have doing your job, then trying to squeeze some visitation in on it. He says, but if you don't mind, if you see any way possible, you can go. I know they would appreciate it. The Lord would appreciate it. And I'd appreciate it. The next day, I went up there on my lunch hour, and we get an hour the time you go to the hospital and then walk your hall and everything to get to the patient and everything, you've just about used up a half hour. So I was up and I was talking to him. And I knew of him because he run a shop and he done some engine work, and he built a race car for, oh man, what's it colored driver name? One big driver. Yeah, Wendell Scott. And we just started talking and everything. And I had prayer with him at the end. And I asked him, I said, sir, I'm asking him. I said, have you ever been saved? He looked at me and he says, no, I don't think so. That's what he said. No, I don't think so. So I started right in the room. I got to the door, got as far as at the door, to push the handle forward. And the door was opening. And I was about ready to go through the door. And he says, brother, could you come back? I need to ask you something. If you would do it. And have other people to do it. He sure wasn't. Well, what you want? Everything, whatever. He said, well, what I want. I want to be saved. But I know with the life that I'm living now that God would not accept me in any local church. I said, well, sir, I said, you know, you can get saved right now. And when you do, when it's all said and done, you ask Jesus to help you. And the things that you can't help yourself with, and you just ask the people. And ask all the different people, different churches, places where you work, if they're saved, you can just ask them, you mind praying for me? Well, I ain't saved. He said, but would you please pray for me? I said, I'll tell you what. I said, before I leave here, I'm going to pray for you. But it's going to be up to you to make the choice. I can't make the choice for you, but you can. You can make that choice. And I promise you that if you pick the right choice, the right one, you ain't got to do nothing. Don't worry about the life that you lived before. Don't worry about the life that you lived yesterday. Don't even worry about the life that you lived this morning here in the hospital. You just say, Lord, here is this body. Please, you take it. And you do what you have to it. I got through praying.
Jesus approached him. He says, "Did you pray out while you were saved?" I said, "Well, I can pray, but you know, it's not going to be no good for you." I said, "But now, you can pray. You can pray and you can ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you and do something special in your life. And that He's not one that will turn His back on you. He's not going to say, 'No, I'm not going to save you today.' Because I was speaking to you here a couple weeks ago, but you just let go in one ear and out the other. Well, the reason you get this the same a couple weeks ago is because it wasn't the Lord speaking to him. Well, you have got to get back. I want to see people saved. I want to see people saved. And I want to see people, after they get saved, get in a Bible-believing church. And if they don't know of any, far as I'm concerned, this right here will do for them if they want it to do. I mean, if they will just trust God, I promise them that God's going to help them. And God's going to help His church. But we have got to do our part. And how do we do our part? What do we do as far as our part? Do we continue to go like we're going, and then just every now and then we may pray in the morning, and we may pray over our lunch, then we've got to supper, then we'll pray over that, and then we may have a prayer at bedtime. I don't think that type of prayer is going to get it. The prayer that I'm speaking of is what Jesus was going through. The shortest verse in the Bible. Two words. Two words is all it was. Jesus wept. He's weeping today. You know how I can tell? I can tell it by the rain we've had. I can tell it by the raindrops. But I'm going to tell you something. That comes from heaven. It don't come out of the sky just to be somebody real bit, but just pouring it out. That comes from God. It comes from God. And I want to see people saved. I want to see this church right here get on fire, get on back on fire for God. The preachers can come in and say, "I don't know what they're doing down there, but I'll tell you one thing. Something is happening, but people getting saved. And, I mean, I ain't done my life. I ain't never seen that many cars in my life." It can happen. It can happen if we want it to happen. But sometimes we'll say, "Well, Lord, you know, I just don't want nobody to come in here. Just going to take over and everything. I just don't want someone to come in and say they're going to take my position and all that." Well, hey, they're not going to do that. They get saved, they're not going to do that. They get saved, they're going to just come to church,
and they can worship a living God.
So what do we need to do?
What do we need to do as a congregation? As a congregation, what do we need to do? Do you need to get rid of this old white pastor and get somebody else in here younger? Because it doesn't, you know, to me, whether I have to step down, if I have a major stroke and I have to step down, I'm not still not going to quit giving out God's word. The only way I have quit giving that out is when He takes my mind, takes my heart, and takes my tongue. The most important thing is your body. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. God, I know that I obeyed You this morning. And Lord, yes, I want to see some miracles here in this church once again. Yes, Father, You did not ask, and You did not put it upon the former pastor that started the church to where he would go and just build a church and have a baptistry and where they take communion. You just didn't allow that just to happen. Just where people can just see that that's the church. But it's not the church. It's a building. I'm the church. Brother Bill's the church. Sister Donna's the church. Sister Betty's the church. Irma is a church. And Sister Nancy is a church. And Sister Shelby, she's a church. And I'm the church. Why? Because we're all saved by the grace of the living and true God. So Father, we are asking, I'm begging You today to do something. Do something that when we come back the next appointed time, that Lord God, that You can amaze us with Your blessings. Father, I thank You for these people. I ask, Lord, that You will go with them today. And Father, be with their families as they probably will visit the family today. Give them the words to say. And Father, if there's not no words to say, help them to put this smile, a loving smile on the face. Thank You, God. Thank You, Father, for what You're aiming to do. And I thank You for doing it, Lord. I trust in You that much. and knowing that you can do what you say. And Father, and please help me, and please and help the people here to not take advantage of anything that you do for us. Because you didn't have to do it. Oh, Father, you do it because we love you. I do it, God, because I love you. I love you. And I love all these people. And I love all the sinners right here. Yes. You're a friend of them. So I must need to be a friend to them too. Because if you ever want to know as a friend, the way they can just talk to you randomly about anything, then they can trust you. And once they can trust you, then they will believe what you tell them. Go with us. Help us this week. Be with the families that's at home that they're going to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.